Welcome to The Learning Curve, a show about helping kids get good grades in school and succeed in life. The Learning Curve is for parents, teachers, and students, because all of life is a learning curve, and you'll succeed to the extent that you can learn easily. Now, here's your hosts, the authors of How to Learn, How to Teach, Overcoming the Seven Barriers to Comprehension, Roger and Virginia.
Today's show explores the true benefits to both you as a parent and your child of summer camp. Did you know that many families now go to summer camp as a family to enjoy the benefits of this opportunity? And the person who is going to be discussing this with us is Peg L. Smith, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the American Camp Association, as she has been for over a decade now. But prior to that, Peg had extensive experience in childhood, adolescent, and young adult work. And with her BS in early childhood and family studies, she began her career in 1974 as a Head Start teacher. Then later, in 1977, she created a career program that was implemented in five counties in Indiana for young people. And subsequently, as a result, she was made the director of the Head Start program for children and adult resource services in the state. Eventually, in 1991, due to her performance in a number of other positions, Peg was appointed to the staff of the governor of Indiana as a director of the governor's Step Ahead initiative. And while there, she also created the first Bureau of Child Development for the state, and in 1995 became the director of the Indiana Youth Institute. So Peg has vast experience in the service of and helping youngsters, so she is well qualified to give us some pointers of the wisdom of how to best serve our children.
So this is the time of year when most parents are starting to think about and even starting to look at camps, summer camps for their kids. How would a parent go about choosing a camp for their child?
Well, we always tell parents that the most successful camp experience for a child is one that they were able to participate with the parent in making the selection. And so it's really a conversation with your child about their interests and the kinds of things they would like to experience at camp, and thinking about what you're hoping the experience will provide your child at camp. The other really fun thing today, with technology, we have a Find a Camp site, and often your child can go to that site with you. Often the child knows how to navigate those sites better than we do sometimes.
Yeah.
So they're able to look at the type of camp, the kinds of activities, the location. It's really an exploration of all the opportunities, and it sort of helps that conversation between the parents and the child in terms of what I might want to be able to do and accomplish in a camp, with the camp experience.
That sounds like a very wise idea. Get your kids involved and have them help you choose, or actually you help them choose where they want to go. But I have another question, and that would be, what are the pluses and minuses of a sleepaway camp versus a day camp?
Well, lots of times it will depend on your child's maturity and experience, because we find that the day camps often are a place where younger quote-unquote campers will go to first, even before they go to a resident camp. It's not always true, but many children will first experience a day camp and then move on into a resident camp. So, you know, has your child had experiences overnight with friends and relatives? What's been their experience so far being separated from mom and dad? Again, and what their interests might be, but it has a lot to do with their experiences and their maturity. It also, in today's world, has a lot to do with how that camp experience fits within the family, and what you will or won't be doing over those summer months, or what the plans are for the family. So it depends on a lot of things, but the number one thing usually is the age and maturity and experience of your child.
So what about the difference between a specially focused camp, such as a sports camp or an art camp or a music camp, versus a general camp where the child will be exposed to many different things?
It's interesting that you even mention that, because I think a lot of people, you might say, summer camp, and people may have that traditional thought of anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks at a camp. Today, I always say camp has almost a developmental model. It runs from, you know, day camp to family camp to resident camp to specialty camp to special needs camp to teen and travel camps to, you know, adult camps. I mean, camp today is from 3 to 93. So when you're looking at a specialty camp, often that is a camp that's even embedded in a more traditional camp, but they have a special program. Now, there are certainly specialty camps. There are a number of sports camps. There are computer camps. There are space camps. There are marine biology camps, where they've really taken a certain discipline or a topic, and they have focused on that. The camp sort of environment is very similar in many of the activities that may take place. There's still everybody's eating together, and they're the overnight, and there be the campfires or the sing-alongs, etc. But the concentration of the activities are around a particular area, as again, a sport or marine biology or space or business, etc. So it's really a focus on a specialty topic or discipline that a child or parent has decided that they would like to participate in.
I heard you mention something about family camp, and then you said adult camp or senior camps. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, again, families that have had, or parents who have had a camp experience themselves, have sort of an inherent understanding of what the camp experience is about, and don't always, you know, they don't sort of second guess whether they should send their children to camp. They just sort of course I'm going to send my child to camp because it was such an important experience for me and my development. But if I'm a parent that has never been sent away to a camp, for many parents it just sounds like, why would I do that? You know, why would I send my child away? Even though we all know that learning how to be separated from our parents and families is a very important part of growing up and developing as an individual. But it may feel really different for that first-time parent. And, you know, about probably, oh, I don't know how many years ago, there's been a real concentration of family camps emerging in the last, you know, 10, 12 years. But what started happening is your traditional camps were starting to offer a week of a family camp. So either at the front end or the back end of their program, so that new parents who may have never had a camp experience could experience camp with their child before sending their child off to camp independently. In other situations, now it's emerged in the last 4 or 5 years, is families really find that experience to be a very wholesome, healthy, and family activity for them to do. And so we have some families that will send their kids to camp in the summer, but either at the beginning or the end of the season will come to a family camp, and you're there at camp together. And there are activities that you do together, and there are activities you do independently. It's a great experience. I hear nothing but positive comments from parents who participated in family camp.
That sounds to me like it's a rather good way to give the youngsters a sense of their particular future career interests. You mentioned things like space camp and,
oh, yes,
and marine biology camps and stuff like that. I know when I was growing up, we had no idea what we wanted to do in life and no opportunity to experience anything that might be the right one, because that was in Australia. I don't know what it's like out there nowadays. I found it very interesting that sending kids off to camp here in America was such a big thing. I thought, goodness, what's all this about, you know?
It is a really nice way for young people to have experiences that they can discover whether that's something they're really interested in. They're learning things, but then it may end up taking them off into a career in the future. It's really exciting. I was at a marine biology camp a couple of years ago, and it was fascinating because the kids, it was right on, you know, the ocean, and the kids would go out and do scuba diving or snorkeling, and we're going out and getting specimens from the ocean floor, except then they'd come up, and up on the beach there would be these open, like, huts that had microscopes and things they could then take the things underneath the microscope. And then if you went back a little further in that camp, there were little sheds that would have computers set up. Then they could go on the computer and do study about what they had found. And yet it was all in the outdoors and natural environment. Everybody's running around in their swimsuits and towels, but they were learning just really critical things. It was, and having fun, just enjoying learning.
I noticed that the ACA, as it's called, the American Camp Association, that association was set up very recently, only in 2010. So not a lot of our listeners would really know it exists, so it's better give them the website. Hey, Peggy, it's acacampsplural.org.
That's right, and actually, we are 100 years old.
Oh, really?
Yes, we are 100 years old.
What did I see here? Founded in 1910.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, the association is that old, not me. I'm always telling people. Well, and it is interesting because, and I don't know that parents would always know about the American Camp Association, because so much of our work is through the camps and professionals who are working with young people. Although we do have, I said, the campparents.org that's been up, probably about 10 years now. And that really is outreach to parents to help them know, just like you're asking, what are the questions I need to ask them? What are the options available to my children? And how much is this going to cost? And where are these camps located? That site was put up to really reach out to parents to give them access to that kind of information.
On that website, does it show or does it explain to parents how they can pay for camp? Is there some way that, let's suppose a parent can't afford to pay for all of the camp, is there a way that they can get some kind of help?
We tell you the questions they ask and things to look for. For instance, we encourage parents to look into certain discounts sometimes camps give, and we give you these kinds of questions to ask, you know, that ask the camp if they offer sibling discounts, ask if there are early bird specials, you ask if there are payment plans, you ask if you can. We also tell you can look at if there are income eligibility programs such as Title 20 or whether you are eligible for a child dependent tax care credit or whether you can use your flexible child care spending account on some of these day camp opportunities. So we give you sort of the kinds of things to look at and to question. We also know that within our community of camps, we give up to $39 million worth of scholarships. And so what we always encourage you to do is ask the camp, do you have a camp scholarship? Because many, many camps have camp scholarships. So there's a whole series of questions we ask you to ask the camps you're talking to on the Find a Camp site. So if you go to campparents.org and then there's a big sign that says Find a Camp, if you go there and you're starting to search camps, many of the camps are going to list what the cost is for that camp. And I think people think camp is just for people who have, you know, lots and lots of money, but camp can be anywhere from under $100 per week and up to, it can be up to $800 per week and more. But there's a whole range of cost of camp, and the cost of camp does not necessarily mean quality of the experience. Many times camps have foundations that support them or are subsidized by another organization. So you can't judge whether it's a good camp or not just by how much it costs.
Do you find that children who maybe struggle a bit in school do well at camp or not?
Kids do well at camp in general. So we certainly do find that there are kids that may struggle in a more formal setting, like a classroom setting, seem to just flourish or emerge from themselves when they come to camp. Camp is a natural sort of learning environment. And if I am an active learner, you know, I need to be moving and doing things. Mm. And it's very difficult for me to sit at a desk all day. I find that when I'm in that camp situation, I'm learning by doing. It's an application and practice of what you are observing, what you're involved with. So it's a very experiential learning opportunity. And so but particularly those young people who have difficulty with the formal classroom. We find that at times they are just sort of liberated in a more natural environment where they can move around, use their bodies, get that physical activity out, but at the same time, they are learning and applying many of those formal things they've been learning. They begin to apply it in the out-of-door setting.
That's actually a very important point, because we all have our own particular learning style.
That's right.
And some people do require fidgeting and being active and doing while they absorb the knowledge. And the typical sit down, be quiet, shut up, and just sponge up environment of a classroom doesn't facilitate folk that need to learn by being active.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think developmental learning is really a precursor to being successful in academic learning. And there are certain things that you really need to nurture in young people in order for them to be good learners and achieve academically. And I think one of them is your curiosity, your drive to know, and the wonder and the sense of awe that needs to be embraced and not squashed by premature demands for compliance. You know, and I think imagination needs to be protected and encouraged, particularly when they talk about kids, they are going to need these quote-unquote 21st century skills. Well, they're all listed around critical thinking, collaboration, and creativity. Well, those kids are going to need to have that sense of curiosity and imagination and desire to investigate and inquire and question and study, but I think it can provide a tremendous opportunity to develop those kinds of skills.
Yeah, I see you speak from experience there, because you began your career as a Head Start teacher.
Yes, yes.
And so you've actually seen it from the beginning as the child develops and how they begin to flourish. Have there been any studies that might have revealed how summer camps, or whenever you folk do camps, have they shown any benefit to the later study habits or learning prowess of these kids?
Well, we don't have long-term research that we've been able to follow kids for a long period of time. There are a few camps that have started doing that and clearly are seeing that kind of success. But as an association, our research has been focused on the immediate outcomes and benefits of that camp experience. And so our research, and we started our research about 10 years ago and can be found on our website. We also collect the research that others are doing as well. And a parent should feel very confident that there is solid validity in research and evidence-based information out there that does in fact support the camp experience and other outdoor activities. And it, you know, our research is showing that, you know, 90% of the campers, when they leave camp, are indicating a higher sense of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
We do understand that, you know, our research will show that 74% of the campers reported starting to participate in new activities and being actively involved in seeking out the learning. We've got similar research that shows the kinds of things that parents have noticed along those areas as well. There was a research done in 2005, Kellert, K-E-L-L-E-R-T, don't have the first name right now, but is showing that play in the nature is important when developing capacities for creativity and problem solving and emotional intellectual development. Those things are just as important as the academic learning, and as I said before, many times precursors to being really successful with academic learning. So, you know, you'll hear within the camp community, people talk about magic, and you also talk to lots of people who have been there and just will sort of describe it in these magical terms. But quite honestly, there is evidence-based research out there that validates the value of and importance of these kinds of activities. I don't want to get rid of the magic. I love magic.
Magic's good.
Magic is good.
Yeah.
But for those who sort of go, well, but is it a waste of my child's time? Is it a waste of my money? Because we're so pressured to build resumes and get letters behind our kids' names.
Yeah.
I think you can feel comfort, or if you need that kind of data, we have that data that can support why these things.
So it really shows that it's a very good investment for parents then, if you're getting those kinds of valid and proven results.
And then, you know, today's world with economics, I mean, you want to know you are being good stewards of your money.
And time.
I get that.
So if somebody wanted to work at a summer camp, how would they go about doing that?
Well, again, I would go to our website, ACA website, and because there's a area where you can look for jobs that are available. We have a job site. That's one thing you can do. You can call the camps that you find in your area too, but the job site is one of the best ways. It's one of our most popular and most frequently visited site. And I think people forget, as a parent, you think about your campers. Well, counselors who are working at camp are also getting tremendous on-the-job training as well. Communication, managing groups, critical thinking as well, how to make decisions and how to help others, make decisions regardless of what their career might be. They're tremendous skills and competencies they're learning as counselors. So we forget that it's not just about the campers, it's about the counselors as well. Or program directors, those are jobs that are available. Maybe somebody has got a specialty in marine biology, or maybe they have a specialty, in water activities, etc. They could become a program director as well. It's a great place to build work ethics and skills that you're going to need to be successful in any career you're going to. And if you're ever going to be a parent, you'll learn a lot as well.
So besides having a specialty, if you were just someone who wanted to go in and be a counselor, you didn't have a specialty, what types of skills and abilities would the camp be looking for?
Well, I think the ability to work with others and communication. Camp director is going to look out if they had the experience in other settings, whether it's babysitting, whether it's working at your local Y, whether it was working in an after-school program, what kind of experiences. Many camps have kids who start out as campers, and then they have counselor and training programs. They're called CITs. There are many counselors in training that are not quite old enough to be a counselor, but are ready to move from sort of a camper to a more responsible job. And they'll become counselor in training, and those counselors, the counselors in training, and eventually become, counselors. So sometimes you've sort of emerged from the field itself, and other times you can certainly come in and share your experiences of working with others, your interest in working with kids, and camp directors are more than willing to talk to you. There are many camp directors that have, and programs at universities that have camp fairs, and it really encourages students to come in and talk to camp directors about possible jobs.
And then begin a teaching career following it, yes.
That's true. There are many teachers even today who will teach during the school year and then come in and be working at any camp across the country during the summer months.
I see on the website it says that a camp experience can stem summer learning loss. Can you talk about that?
Well, summer learning loss is really, if kids are not continuing to be actively involved in exploring thinking and investigating, imagining, then you're just sort of sitting fallow over the summer. If you're just watching TV, if you're just playing video games, if you're not really continuing to be participatory in what you're doing, then you can lose. Then research has shown you can come back into the school year and be behind than where you were when you left. And so by going to camp, you're continuing to be actively involved in learning experiences. Yes, it's fun. Yes, to the naked eye, it looks like just nothing more than play. But it really is involving kids in thinking and doing and experiencing things and applying their lessons that they learn throughout the year into the camp experience. And lots of people don't realize there's a lot of reading going on at camp. Sometimes it's a time set aside for reading, but if you're going to have an art activity, 9 times out of 10, there are things you're reading. And so there's reading going on. There's creative problem solving going on. Groups of kids trying to figure out how to, manage a particular activity or skill. So it keeps you alert.
Keeps the mind going. I mean, to be honest, any new activity is a learning experience.
Yes.
And that's what exercises the brain. We had a guest on a few weeks ago who was one of these boffins that we call them in England. We call them boffins, which means a very clever expert here in America. But the expertise was in the area of brain function and how you can actually exercise the brain with mental exercises. And it's also shown that if you switch off for a period of time, like over the summer, it takes a little while to get it all switched back on again.
Oh, I'm sure. And, that's what I say, it keeps you alert and it keeps you present and it keeps you participating. So, I also, as a parent, and I'm speaking now as a parent.
As a parent, right.
My child is going to formal, he's out of school now, but was going to school during the school year. And if he needed to have some help in a particular topic, to send him back into the same setting seemed counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
To be able to put him in a new and different setting that was more experiential, allowed him to be much more active and involved, was more intuitive to me. And I found it very successful, even with my own child, is that he returned to school even more enthusiastic about learning because he had seen himself be successful.
Right.
He had not continued to feel like he was not doing it right or he was failing. He had been able to learn things over the summer and to celebrate success.
Yeah.
And to know what it felt like to be afraid to try something new, but I tried it because I had the support systems around me. Oh, and then I was successful. Oh, this is what it feels like. I like this. I like learning. I like being successful. I think even the attitude he took back in to the school helped him be a better learner those
right.
following school years.
Well, one of the things that we found in our own research that one of the great barriers to comprehension, which actually spoils a child's ability to even want to continue to learn, is if they introduce the subjects or made to have to learn subjects that nobody explains the purpose or why should they pay attention to it, what's the value of this subject, they tend to switch off, they then get lost, and they go through this decline of three stages of decline as a student. Whereas at summer school, the kids have the opportunity to do something that interests them. It's exciting and new. Of course, they pay attention to it and enjoy it, and that's a very valuable experience, and then they have a win at it. And then the whole attitude reverses, and they then begin to manifest being a successful student. It's been interesting for me to... I grew up in Australia. I'm 76 years old, as the listeners know. There's a big difference between what I saw 50, 60 years ago in the educational facilities and what I see now today in America.
Yes.
And in England, for that matter, as well, where I lived for nearly 20 years. I think the American situation with the summer camps and such is a wonderful opportunity to rekindle this child delight of discovery and finding out things, and that's the real magic of learning, which gets a little bit dull sitting in a classroom. Now I notice there is also a website, campparents.org. Is that part of your outfit, or
is it
an affiliate part of your outfit?
It's part of our site, and from that, you probably will see, it'll say find a camp, and that'll lead you into when you're really wanting to look specifically for camps. A lot of the campparents.org site help you sort of, how do you make the decision about camp? What are the kinds of questions you ask? What are the kinds of things you look for? It'll give you developmental information on there, and there's a whole series of information we've been dealing answering questions from parents for a long time. And then the find a camp is when you really start to want to nail down, what are my options? And we have
right.
about 2,400 accredited camps that are listed there.
That's a lot. Well, Peggy, do we call you Peggy or Peg?
Depends if I'm in trouble or not.
And depends on how formal we're being, eh?
Well, everybody calls me Peg, and my mother is still living, and will still, if she's angry with me, call me Peggy. So I prefer Peg.
Oh, Peg it is then. So it's been wonderful and a lot of fun talking to you. It's been a bit of an education to me to find out just how the game is played in the camp scene here in America. because I've not personally experienced it.
Well, and thank you very much.
Just remind folks, the two websites are, what are they, Peggy? You know them off by heart.
I would go to campparents.org. I think that is the best site for parents.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
And that they'll get in through the rest of the system from there.
They can, absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us, Peggy. Or Peg, sorry. And I know that our listeners got a lot out of this.
All right, thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're welcome, mate.
Thanks for listening to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. For more information on the subjects covered during the show, visit howtolearneasily.com or send an email to questions@howtolearneasily.com.